Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to mini episode 325 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have one spooky story for you today, and our story comes from the 15th of November 2023, and this story comes from Annika. My mother is an avid believer of all things supernatural, to the point of her shamelessly cleansing furniture that she buys from Craigslist, just in case it came with any bad vibes. She's always told me that she can see things, like people's energy or those who have passed away. She isn't always vocal about it though, as a lot of people can be cruel when someone opens up about those kind of experiences. But she's always been comfortable telling my dad, my sister and I about it. I know my dad sees things too, but he isn't nearly as open about his beliefs. I think it's mostly because he doesn't completely understand it and that freaks him out. But there have been a couple of times where he would look over from the table we were all sitting at, and without having to explain himself, my mom would just say something like, "It's okay, I saw her too." And that would be it. Most recently, the one that they've both agreed on having seen is a tall woman in a white gown that just walks slowly through their living room. Like I said, my dad doesn't talk about it a lot, so when he does, I know it's really freaked him out. My mom has always been insistent that my sister and I are sensitive to those kind of things too, especially me. I don't remember it much, but she's told me before that when I was really little, I would sit on her lap and hold her hand, just staring at her palm, saying that I liked the colours. She told me that she thinks that since I was still very young and children are even more sensitive to those things, it could have been that I was looking at her aura or her chakra. When I got older, I of course became a snarky teenager about things, despite her being insistent that she knew I was still sensitive to these kinds of supernatural experiences. I've always been the family comedian, so I would just brush it off by making Sixth Sense or The Shining jokes, and kind of became a complete skeptic to it all. Fast forward to today, and I'm working on a career in marine science, and it's been drilled into my head from college to always look for the logical explanation for things, even to a fault. This kind of thinking worked for me for a really long time, but I know deep down that I don't entirely believe science can explain everything. A few years ago, my family went through some pretty traumatic events, and since then, any sensitivity I've had has felt sort of shut down. Which seems counterintuitive, since a lot of stories I've heard about people's experiences, especially on this podcast, have started occurring after traumatic events have taken place. I still experience things, but it was as though I felt them less. I'm not really sure why the opposite occurred for me, but over the past few weeks, I've noticed it starting to creep its way back into my life. The more present it gets, the more I catch myself thinking about experiences that I've had that I simply refused to acknowledge or spent way too long coming up with a logical explanation for. So the reason I'm writing this all now is because as much as I poke fun at it and make jokes when my mom offers different spiritual practices that can help me tune into it more, I know that I can sense something, even if I'm not really sure what it is. And I want to share the different stories that I've had throughout my life. Maybe you or someone listening can make better sense of them than I can. To start out, when I was a kid, I went to bed the night before Easter. I remember hearing a vase of bamboo we had as a decoration in our living room shuffle around a bit. I wasn't quite asleep yet, so I opened my eyes and looked at my bedroom doorway. The only light in the room was moonlight coming from my window, but I could see a tall figure standing and kind of leaning into my room, as if it was looking at me. The figure had bunny ears, and I remember seeing them so clearly that I could see the veins just like in any animal ear. My kid brain just decided it was the Easter Bunny, and not wanting to get in trouble for being awake, I just rolled over and pretended to be asleep. After a while, I heard the vase rumbling around again and fell asleep. When I was little, I thought it was so exciting because I had probably seen the Easter Bunny, but now the memory of it makes my skin absolutely crawl, and I really hope it was just a weird child's version of sleep paralysis or something. Around that same age, my great-grandmother passed away peacefully in her sleep. My sister and I were really close with her, and we were too young to have had death explained to us yet. I don't remember this story, but this is how my mom has recounted it to me. The morning after she passed, my mom was crying in the living room, trying to figure out how she was going to tell my sister and I when we woke up. Before she could figure it out, I came out of my room, happily, and told her, "Mom, I saw great-grandma last night." She asked me what I meant, and I told her that my great-grandmother and another woman had come into my room the night before and spoken with me. They told me that they loved me and knew I would do amazing things in life. My mom asked me who the other woman was and I said I didn't recognize her, but she had a really pretty dress on with blue flowers on it. This part stunned my mom. My great-grandmother's sister was very close with my mother's family and died before she met me, but my mom knew her well, and her absolute favorite outfit was a white dress with blue flowers. I don't remember this, but I'm glad for it, as I think it brought my mom a lot of peace to know that her grandmother was with loved ones. In the same creepy child pipeline, when I was really little, I would randomly cry sometimes. And when my mom asked me what was wrong, I would tell her that I missed my brother. The thing is, I had a twin brother that unfortunately didn't survive my mother's pregnancy with us, but she had never told me. Even when I continued to tell her this, she didn't tell me that I in fact had a brother until I was years older. I'm sure there were other creepy incidents when I was a kid, but the really freaky shit started when I was a teenager. My dad was in the military, so until I started high school when he retired, we moved every 3 years or so. For some reason, my parents had a hobby of choosing creepy-ass houses for their charm because they really wanted to fix her upper. In reality, that usually just meant we lived somewhere super haunted for a few years until they got it ready to sell and we moved to the next house. Rinse and repeat. When we moved to Colorado when my sister and I went into high school, our new house was no different. It was built in the 70s and honestly a really gorgeous house. I hated it. My parents wrote it off as me just being an edgy teenager and not adjusting well to the move. But we lived in that house for a total of 7 years, and I could never stand being there alone or at night. The first things that bothered me about it were the sounds. It wasn't a particularly creaky house, but you could definitely hear certain floorboards which would tap and groan when no one was near them. When the lights were off at night, I hated walking around, because I absolutely could not shake the feeling that something really unfriendly was watching me. The noises in the house made it seem like someone was there, to the point where my sister and I would grab the phone and be ready to call 911 because we were home alone and thought someone had broken in. The two rooms I hated the most, though, were my own, unfortunately, and my mom's office that was at the foot of the stairs. The office wasn't particularly creepy for any rhyme or reason, aside from maybe the boiler room being attached to it, but I felt horrible walking in there. Any time I stepped into it, I felt unhappy, stressed, and anxious, to the point of feeling nauseous. At night, I would avoid going up and down the stairs just so I wouldn't have to walk past that room. It had a window in it that let in a lot of light, but for whatever reason during the night, you couldn't see anything past the doorway. It just looked like a void and it freaked me the hell out. I told my mom about this, and that I didn't have any good feelings about the room, let alone living in that house. But she didn't have any bad feelings, so she thought it was fine. I didn't get as horrible of a feeling of dread in my room, but I always felt watched. Daytime, nighttime, it didn't matter. It always felt like something was standing in a certain corner in my room, just watching. This is important later, but every once in a while it would feel like two presences were watching me. At night though, the presence felt truly malicious. And falling asleep was a game of feeling my suspense build, of ignoring my intuition screaming, "Turn around, something is about to happen, it's right there," to flipping around to face the room that freaked me out so much until I could brave turning my back to it again. It got to the point where I, as a stubborn skeptic and otherwise fearless high schooler, would go all the way upstairs and sleep in my parents' bed some night. During the day, my room would also randomly smell like weed. At the time, no one in my family smoked, least of all me. But this was Colorado, and I was a teenager, so of course my parents didn't buy it. We would be standing in my room for whatever reason, and the smell would all of a sudden be there. They asked me about it over and over, but I would always swear on our family dog's life that I had never once smoked. I checked my room's vents and every corner of the closet, thinking that maybe I had just missed a stash someone had left behind when we moved in. But I never really found anything. We had repainted the walls and put all new carpeting in too, so it wasn't really likely that the smell was just residual. Eventually my mom began to believe me about the bad feelings I was getting in the house, and she brought over a friend who was a medium. She didn't tell her anything previously, because she wanted to make sure that what her friend was saying was genuine to whatever she sensed in the house. I was at school while she was visiting, and when I came home there were piles of sand in my room, and some dried plants hung up in a bunch of our windows. There were also rocks sitting on some of our windowsills. I put my school stuff in my room and went out to talk with my mom and her friend. My mom introduced us, and before I could even say anything, she looked at me and said, "You. You're the one they're attached to. They can sense you and know that you can sense them. Toby especially. He likes you, but it's okay because he just wants to watch over you and make sure that you're doing okay." I didn't really know how to respond and was really socially awkward at the time, so I just kind of muttered an apology and went into another room. My mom later told me that her friend had sensed two presences in the house. One was the boy named Toby, who she said meant no harm and really just wanted to look after me. The other one, she said, was much darker. She didn't think it was any kind of human spirit, but had sensed my intuition with the spiritual side and latched onto it. She told me that the sand in my room was from a ritual her friend had done, because there was a portal in my room, and the ritual would help seal it off and cleanse the house. Again, at the time, I laughed it off, but looking back, I'm not sure how I put up with how uneasy and scared I was in that house. A few months after all of this took place, my mom was having a conversation with one of our neighbors who had lived across the street from us since the house was built. She mentioned a rumor that she had heard about someone dying in our house beforehand. And without missing a beat, he replied, "Oh yeah, a few years before you moved in, a kid named Toby took his own life. It was really sad, actually. He was a sweet kid and was just having a really hard time in school. He smoked like a chimney, though. I could smell the pot every time I walked my dogs past your backyard." Against my mom's better judgment, she asked which room it had happened in. And shockingly, it was my room. When my mom told me all of this, I genuinely wanted to puke. I'd been having a really rough time at school during those years, and any time I would be crying or just really upset about it, I would smell the same pot and feel the same presence. On top of that, any time I was really freaked out about feeling watched, if I could feel both presences, the second one made me feel somewhat at ease. My mom believed me about everything I told her I felt in the house after that. My parents moved to a different house in Pennsylvania when I was a freshman in college, and stuck to their usual habit of buying what looked like a horror movie set. This house was a 200 and something year old cabin. The original part of the house is still standing, and it came with a bunch of historical things found in the house framed on the wall, including World War II newspapers and the deed to the house signed by none other than Benjamin Franklin, so the house is freaking ancient. I stayed there for the first time when my college shut down for COVID. I drove up to Pennsylvania from Florida while I was really sick and got there absolutely exhausted. I ended up getting pneumonia from the sickness that I had, so I was bedridden for a few weeks at the start of lockdown and wasn't really in the right headspace to notice anything weird about the house. Once I was feeling better, I kept my sanity during lockdown by renovating my room in the house. On the first night that I had finished completely redoing the room, I was so excited to sleep in the finished product. That night, I passed out while watching TikToks on my phone. Around 2 in the morning, I felt two hands slam onto the foot of the bed and, clear as day, heard what sounded like shoes running out of my room. When I tell you I almost shat the bed, I am not exaggerating. I didn't care that it was 2 in the morning. I texted my sister over and over, "What the fuck? What the fuck? Wake up right now." At first, I told myself that the slamming I felt was my sister's cat jumping up onto the bed. But the cat was already curled up on the other side of the bed, fast asleep. I spent the next hour or so trying to come up with something, anything, any logical explanation to whatever the hell had just happened. To this day, the best that I can come up with is that I jolted in my sleep, and it felt to my half-asleep brain like someone hitting the bed. And because I found my phone on the floor, the running sound was it clattering between my bed and my nightstand as it fell. I'm still not entirely sure, but that experience still kind of shakes me up. The next day, I asked my parents if they had any historical records of the house. And as it turns out, there was a book of all the past owners, births, and deaths on the property. The land used to be a farm when the cabin was originally built, and a few owners had peacefully passed away of old age. But one death was that of a little boy at around 6, and the only listed reason for his death was farming accident. Suffice to say, there's a lot of activity in that house as well. The floorboards are insanely creaky, and all 4 of us have heard walking around upstairs while we're all downstairs. A chair in my room rolling around when no one is there, and things moving and disappearing at random. This house, I should also mention, is the one in which my parents have both seen the woman in white that I mentioned earlier. The comforting part is, though, that while I still feel like I'm being watched sometimes when I visit them in that house, I've never felt malice inside the house. It's always a very calm energy. Outside is another story. Maybe it's just typical creepy New England woods, but whenever I was out walking my dog in the woods behind the house at night or grabbing firewood, I absolutely felt unsafe. It was the same kind of feeling I had with the house in Colorado, just an overall feeling of something very unfriendly watching. Thankfully, though, I only have to visit and not live there full time. All of these stories bring us to the present day. I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, with 2 roommates who I absolutely adore, in a house that isn't all that old and, as far as I know, doesn't have any dark past or anything. One of my roommates and I have bonded a lot over sharing spooky stories that we have just for fun and watching different ghost hunting shows. I asked her if she'd experienced anything in this house and she said no, and I hadn't felt anything either, which put my mind at ease a bit. But the thing is, my mom and some other friends of mine who are all really into all things spiritual have said that sometimes people with a higher sensitivity to things can bring out spirits or cause heightened activity. I didn't really believe that pertained to me until college, when our dorm room began freaking everyone out once I had moved in and people started seeing and hearing things. As far as I knew, the house I live in now doesn't really carry any of that energy. But recently, a few things have started happening here and there. My other roommate's mom was visiting about a month ago and was cooking with my roommate, who I watch the ghost shows with. They were chatting in the kitchen, which is essentially the same room as the living room, and both heard a heavy cup drag across the coffee table in the living room. No one was near the table, and it was too heavy for a fan or wind to push it. Another time, a few weeks ago, my roommate and I finished watching a show and we both went to bed. Both of us shut our doors when we head to bed for the night, but a decent amount of sound can still be heard. I was getting ready for bed and closed my closet door. I felt a bit of resistance, so I remember specifically pushing it so that I heard the click and knew that it was fully closed. I walked into my bathroom, the door to which is inside of my room, and finished getting ready for bed. When I walked back out, the closet door was wide open. I have pretty thick carpet too, so it was unsettling how far open it was, as it can't really swing back and forth because of the carpet. The next day, I was talking with my roommate, and she asked me if I had come out into the kitchen right after we had both gone to bed. I said no, and she looked pale. She and my other roommate are dating, so they sleep in the same room, and I hadn't left my room after closing my bedroom door. She went on to explain that she heard rattling around the kitchen and was going to ask why I was doing the dishes in the dark, because she wouldn't have minded if I had turned on the light. I told her that no, I hadn't left my room at all. And the same time that she was hearing that go on, my closet door had opened on its own. We both kind of laughed nervously at it, but definitely didn't know how to explain it. The last two experiences I have are ones that both occurred in the past 2 weeks or so. I'm an animal control officer, and what isn't really known about the job is that you get yourself into some pretty intense settings, similar to EMTs or other first responders. A few weeks ago, we had to come and collect a cat that had sadly passed away because the owner had too. I've never seen a dead body before, so I'll spare the gory description of what she looked like, but she had been dead for at least 2 months. The smell was unsurprisingly terrible, and the other officer and I were pretty quiet for the rest of our shift after that call. I didn't think too much on it until a few days later, when I was sitting on my bed and was hit by the exact same smell. Same routine, I tried explaining it with anything that I could think of, but none of it really worked. I had showered multiple times since then, washed all my clothes that I had been wearing that day, and left no residual smell. Even more unsettlingly, it lingered for just a while before it was gone. That was the beginning of when I really started to realize that I might be regaining whatever sensitivity to these things that I have. Last but not least, a few nights ago I was laying on my bed on FaceTime with one of my friends. I was laying on my stomach just watching TikToks or something on my phone with her, and out of nowhere I got the most nauseating, instinctual feeling. It felt like my intuition just saying, something is behind your back, something is above you right now. Even if I'm unsettled by something, I don't usually outwardly react. But this made me immediately get up and audibly say, holy shit, what was that? I got under my covers because comforters are obviously ghost-proof and told my friend what had happened. I've been vigilant about it since then, but so far haven't felt it again. I don't really know exactly what I believe in terms of the supernatural, but I know I feel sensitive to something. And I think coincidences in things that I've seen and that my parents have both seen are a little bit too much of a stretch to explain with logic and science. Regardless of what they are, I always enjoy spooky stories. So as freaky as some of them are when they happen, I love sharing them with my friends that are interested in them and hearing theirs in return. Hopefully I'm not just a ghoul magnet like my mom thinks, but I guess it'll just make my life that much more interesting. Annika, you sound like a person after my own heart to be making the Shining jokes and Sixth Sense jokes about the whole thing. You know, and sometimes that's how we survive, you know. It's not always easy to have your worldview turned upside down or to suddenly think, hang on a second, there is actually paranormal stuff that's going on and that's really freaky. And not only that, but my mum keeps telling me that I'm sensitive to these things. Like, it's okay for your defense mechanism to be both skepticism and humor. That's absolutely fine. And I think the most disturbing thing about this submission is the Easter Bunny. I did a Patreon episode a while ago, a good few months ago now, that was about people who had seen like strange cryptids, such as rabbit people, cat people, etc. So while you're hoping and praying that this was just some sort of weird childlike dream, I'm also hoping and praying that it was some sort of weird childlike dream. It might not be. And it just sounds like, Annika, that you were a creepy kid, you know, seeing your great grandmother and her sister coming in to be like, saying goodbye wherever they were going, also talking about missing your twin brother who had died before he was born. Like, you were clearly the epitome of a creepy kid. And I guess, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast about sort of trusting your intuition with these things. And sometimes if you are a sensitive person, you will get a feeling about particular houses. And it sounds like your parents spent their life buying houses that were just destined to freak you out. And again, it's another story where you do end up getting that validation. So you obviously had this presence in your bedroom. You'd smell weed in your bedroom all the time. Totally understand your parents being like, yeah, sure, ghost weed. We're definitely going to believe that. And if you were having a tough time in school, I wonder if this boy who had taken his own life, I wonder if he was trying to look out for you, trying to be there for you, like when you were struggling a bit and you would smell weed, like was that his presence being like, I'm here to make you feel very relaxed and also get you in trouble with your parents? But in all seriousness, was he there to try and bring you a sense of comfort because you were going through something similar to what he went through? And I'm sorry to say it, but it does sound like you were just a magnet for the supernatural. And of course, it's not a big stretch to imagine that if you were somebody who had a gift or who had an ability, a sensitivity to these things, it's not difficult to imagine that people who have passed on would see that as a beacon and be like, I am going to come to you. I'm going to come towards you because you are somebody that can interact with me. I can get attention from you. I can validate my own existence in the other realm if you respond and react to me. And I know that you said that your family had been through some traumatic stuff and you felt like that caused your sensitivity to be lessened somewhat. And to me, that makes perfect sense. I know that some people say they go through trauma and then their sensitivity is opened up. But, you know, your brain will try and protect you at any costs. Like it will do things to try and protect you. And it makes sense that your brain would be like, you know what? You've got all this shit going on in the living realm. We're just going to shut down your sensitivity to the other realm because you just don't need that shit right now. I'm going to be honest, Annika, I'm a little bit fascinated about what's going to happen next for you. If your sensitivity is sort of reopening, where is it all going to go? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Annika for sending in your stories. Remember, Annika's story came from the 15th of November, 2023. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.